Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Tuesday. We are back, sort of. Claude is still on vacation, but she's back with us. Hey, Claude, how you doing?
Oh my God. I feel like I have to take the biggest duty because I have like so much to say. And once I make this duty, like I will feel so relieved because so much has happened in the last week, you know, in the world, personally. And I just really feel like I'm so excited to take this massive dump.
Wow. That's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing your duty with us.
Yeah. I really think of the morning toast as like my daily duty and I don't feel good until I take
can't.
It.
I can't accept that. It's got to be something else.
It's a good metaphor, actually.
Please. We'll work up something else. I'm excited for your release.
I'm coming to you still on vacation. We were supposed to be back, in New York today. And while we're not technically in New York, we're still churning out episodes. And here's the reason why. I was planning on coming home yesterday, and of course that would mean we're back on Tuesday, and I really had Norma Kamali in my head, you know? I mean, I don't know when the next time I'm going to get out to the Virgin Islands is, and I just did not want to go home. And I'm thinking to myself, like, well, what the hell do I have to go back for except the toast, which we've learned this year, like, we can literally do from anywhere. So I was with Brian because we were on this trip for his birthday weekend, and he obviously, like, had amazing things planned for himself because it's his job to travel and try out new places. And I was just like, I've got to tag along. And with this new no change fees thing, it is such a delight to travel. And I know what, like, on a million of my trips, and I'm sure people can relate, like, you always think, like, should I stay a few more days? And it's like, you can get the hotel room, but then you call the airline, and it's like $250 change fee plus the difference in price between your first and last flight. And it was so easy to change my flight. Not only did they not charge me a change fee, I got a credit back because my new flight was cheaper. They sent me $500 in a credit. I'm like, what the fuck? It's such a delight. And if you're going on a trip soon and thinking about extending, like, this is your message. Like, Norma Kamali was my sign, and this is your sign to just do it.
Yeah. Also, it's like, it takes so much to get out of the house these days, to get out of the country. Yep. And like, you're there, and I think once you were there, you realized, like, you need to stay there. So I agree. This year has taught us so much, including the fact that we can do the show from anywhere. And I look forward to doing the show with you from a tropical locale. I just feel like the energy will be great. The vibes are clearly good on your end. And I think that will transmit good vibes towards me as well.
And the vibes are definitely good on your end because, like, I saw that sexy photo of you in a hot tub. Like, I know that you are feeling good.
So sexy. You know,
that
I had...
was sexy. Like, seriously sexy. I was like, damn.
I had a really great weekend also. Zach and I went, and Bruno, so important.
Of course.
The vibe was achieved. I was talking about the vibe on our last episode of what I had in mind, which was just like a really farm-chemin quaint weekend where dogs were allowed. And I found exactly that at the Mayflower Inn, which, yes, you might have heard of and seen on Real Housewives of New York. That's how I even knew about the hotel. I called them up, asked if they allowed dogs. They said yes. And not only do they allow dogs, like, they roll out the red carpet. Like,
They encourage.
There were so many things in our room that were for Bruno. They gave him a bed. They had wee-wee pads. They had treats. They had bowls. Like, they were just so they were Brunophiles, I would say.
And wow, that's an honor.
Yeah, no, so it was a great weekend. It was also just like so stunning. We loved our room. I read a lot. We went to the spa. It was just exactly what I had in mind. And I'm glad that I took advantage of my vacation days while you were gone. Otherwise, I would have come on the show today like a monster.
Yeah. Also, by the way, thanks to Jackie's recommendations, I too have been reading quite a bit. I finished Every Last Secret when I was in St. Thomas. I loved it like so much. I thought it was a great story with a great message. Like when we were recapping it afterwards, we're like, what's the moral of the story here? Like there was really stuff to think about afterwards. Yeah. And then I started What Alice Forgot. And it literally was not English. Like, I did not understand what was going on. Like, I only read the first chapter, but she was like, is cream cheese a hard cheese? Like, she was literally, like, I think they were trying, I don't know what the book was about because I never got to it, but I think they were trying to say, like, she was doing some sort of hypnosis because she has some memory problems. Is that what I'm guessing?
Yeah.
It was not English. Like, I could not understand it. So then I took another one of your recommendations, The Mother-in-Law, and I am loving it so far. So good.
Great. I'm so glad to hear it. I read two books this weekend also. I read The Girl on the Train, which is also like a major motion picture, which I never saw. The book was really good. Super twisty. I think you would like it, Claude, if you're looking for your next book. And then I read The Da Vinci Code.
Oh my God. I saw that on your stories and I was crying. I don't know why, but like, because it's like a really popular book. Because
it's like, it's literally like the number one book in the world, like after the Bible, right? Probably. And I don't know. It's just like definitely a good book. So I was like, I should read this book. And I loved it. I mean, there's nothing not to like. That's not like a hot take. And it was super interesting and smart. But I also felt like I was watching an action movie like as I was reading it. So it felt very like blockbuster-y, but it was very smart and I really enjoyed it. So I might go watch those movies after this. But instead, last night I just watched the trailers for both of those movies and I felt like I saw them.
Girl on a Train. That's not Gone Girl, right? Because she's like on the train the whole time.
No, and it's not Girl with Dragon Tattoo.
Right, that's what I was also thinking. So there's another book about a girl. But, you know, in Gone Girl, Emily Blunt is, like, always on the train.
Okay, so that's Girl on the Train. Gone Girl is Rosamund Pike, and crazy.
Wait. No, wait. No. Emily Blunt is also in Gone Girl, right?
No. She's the girl on the train.
Yeah. Okay, so very confusing.
Yeah. Sort of. They're both girls.
It's a Chris Pine, Chris Evans type of situation.
It's also confusing with Girl with No Job.
So confusing. Because that is also like a bestseller. They're making it into a movie, I heard.
Yeah, and like thrilling with a twist at the end.
Thrilling and chilling.
Totally.
Totally. So I'm just excited to be back. There's so much to break down. I mean, obviously, Harry and Meghan, like, literally within a matter of minutes just like destroyed 100-year-old monarchy. Like they took that shit down.
Not 100-year-old, hundreds year old. Yeah,
you knew what I meant.
That is the reason for the season. That's the reason for this episode. We have so much to talk about, and that is the bulk of it. I mean, I've been processing my own thoughts, and I look forward to like processing them further with you and hearing your opinions on some of the stuff, because it was just like, I feel like this, it was the sort of special that like we'll be telling our kids we watched.
Well, so what I was thinking is like in the beginning of the interview when they were referring to Diana's interview and how it was like, you know, it's a really well-known famous interview. In like 10 years, that's how people are going to talk about this Oprah interview. Like we were witnessing history.
Yeah. Yeah, we really were. Crazy. I didn't get a chance to watch it live because I had to finish The Da Vinci Code and I just didn't want to get like my wires crossed. Mm-hmm. So I watched it on Monday morning and I wish I had watched it live so I could have like, you know, kept up with the convos. But still, like, I also needed to just like focus.
Yeah, well, I didn't watch it on Sunday night because I was like drinking myself into oblivion. But on Monday morning, I downloaded like CBS All Access, which I have, like I have access to it. But we're in the British Virgin Islands now and the licensing, it was kind of shady. It felt like a slight towards Britain because like Britain didn't get it until last night. So I had to like literally janky. I had to do this thing on my phone. Like that was definitely illegal. Like change your location, download this app.
Yeah, like and your VPN or something.
VPN, yes.
Yeah.
And I ultimately got it, but it was not without lots of strife. But I would have done anything to watch it. Like I was dying to just, and I was seeing so many people talk about it. It's everywhere. Like you cannot open a magazine, a Twitter. It's everywhere. And so I was like, I felt so left out. It was killing me.
Yeah, no, it's everywhere, and there's so many different aspects of it, so many bombshells. We're going to get into all of the bombshells, all of our thoughts on each one, and ultimately where we land on our thoughts.
Yeah, I think, I don't really know where I land. We have to, talk through it, but at the end of the day, you know what, let's just get into it.
Let's get into the Fast Five stories, mostly Meghan and Harry's interview that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And I'm really excited because we have a new sponsor today that is so pertinent, because if in the last year you have found yourself getting into a snack rut, which I definitely have, then you got to check out Nuts.com, the best kept secret of savvy snackers across the country. They have a variety of high quality, delicious snacks available, like white chocolate toffee cashews, bourbon, pecans, however you say it. It isn't just for nut lovers, but it's your one-stop online pantry shop. The simple and convenient way to have nutritious, delicious, healthy nuts, dried fruit, flowers, grains, and so many other high-quality foods delivered straight to your door. They have over 4,000 products to choose from. Delicious, healthy kid family snacks like dried strawberries, custom trail mix. Oh my God, I love their trail mix. Plus all the raw, organic, roasted, salted, and candied nuts you can imagine. Even chocolate dipped, which I have tried, and they're unbelievable. Their website is super easy to navigate. They have great photos of the product, and it's a family-run business that takes pride in getting you the freshest products. Nuts.com is your one-stop online pantry shop. You can find baking items, items for smoothies, rolled oats, beans, and more. They also have gluten-free and vegan options, and their delivery is super fast, where most orders ship on the same day. They're fresher products than the supermarket. So new Nuts.com customers can get free shipping on your first order when you text TOAST to 64,000. And remember, you support our show when you support our sponsors. So text TOAST to 64,000 to get free shipping on your first order from Nuts.com. That's TOAST to 64,000. Terms apply, available at Nuts.com/terms. Again, if you have found yourself in your house really feeling static with your snacks, which I definitely have experienced over this last year, Nuts.com, you can find amazing snacks, whatever you're looking for. Healthy, gluten-free, more indulgent, they have it all. So just check it out, Nuts.com. It's a great offer, and their snacks are fire.
Their snacks are fire. I got a box a few weeks ago from Nuts.com that just gave me this joie de vivre. It was literally the happiest box I ever got. Because one, I'm on keto, so it was nuts aplenty, and I had so much, to actually work with. And then there were also these candied nuts. There was this apple pie trail mix, which was so amazing. And I have all of these snacks, and Zach loves dried mango and dried fruit. And it was just the best package to ever receive. So treat yourself to the joy of Nuts.com.
Treat yourself. That's the message here. Norma Kamali would want you to order.
She would. She really would want to.
She's really been in my head, really inspiring me to just live my fullest life. I'm thinking about having an orgy with Ben and Brian, because she said we just need to touch one another.
You will one day do that.
100%.
No, she definitely has changed my post-COVID outlook. I just have nowhere to apply her methods yet. But when I do, I will.
The opportunity will come.
Yes. Okay, let's get into Meghan and Harry, Oprah, CBS, March 7th, Sunday night. The biggest bombshells from Meghan and Harry's Oprah interview per People magazine. Are you ready? We're going to go. Let's go.
Yeah, what people consider the biggest bombshells, I agree with. But there were things that I was shocked to not see in the tabloids. When I was reading, I'm like, how has this not been written up everywhere?
Yes. Okay, so the first one is that Kate made Meghan cry when the tabloids had reported a few years ago that Meghan made Kate cry right before the wedding.
The thing is about these tabloid stories, and I remember that story, I never really, and maybe it's just me, I never digested them as truth. The British press and tabloids are notoriously shiesty. I find it interesting that particular story bothered Meghan so much, because I never believed it to be true. There's so many fake stories that come out about the royal family. And I was surprised that she had heard about that one, because she said she doesn't read anything. And it must have been frustrating when it was literally the exact opposite thing that happened, right, that was being reported. And that's frustrating.
Yeah, that is frustrating. But I wonder, there's clearly a difference between the UK press and the US press, because I feel in the US, we regard the tabloids as absolute garbage.
Trash.
The headlines that they were showing on the special, to me, they're nothing more than National Enquirer headlines. I think the most legitimate, publication was the Daily Mail, which is still a celebrity tabloid, but I think that that's not like indicative of the press.
No, you are 100% right. Like, the way we regard tabloids in America is so different. Like, when Megan spilled the most major tea that I literally did not see written up everywhere, that they have, like, holiday parties and cocktail parties at the palace for the tabloids. Like, the tabloids are an integral part of something. Like, they're not what they are in America.
But, like, when she says tabloids, like, is she talking about the equivalent of Star Magazine, where it's, like, every week Brad and Jen are getting back together?
Yes, I believe.
People in Britain, like, regard these as truth, whereas here everyone just walks past them in the supermarket and rolls their eyes.
No, literally, there's, and by the way, that's not the only difference. I feel like this is actually really highlighting, like, the differences in American and British cultures, like, because that is a huge difference for sure. But also, like, when I was talking about this on my stories, like, I was getting two totally different perspectives, and the people who were pro Meghan and had a lot of compassion for her were American, and the people who watched the interview and their minds did not change and they hate Meghan and they still think that she's, like, this manipulative social climber. That is, like, for, and I don't want to generalize, but that was, like, the British perspective I was getting.
Well, yeah, I can see how that would be the case. Also, because I think in general, like, culturally, Americans are, you know, more emotional and vocal and talk about everything. Whereas, like, you know, we watch Ladies of London, the Brits sweep it under the rug.
Right. And so by the way, I'm sure, like, our British listeners, like, we have no idea what we're talking about. I've literally never even been to London.
It's the British stiff upper lip. It's Lisa Vanderpump. It's everything that we've seen, like, or for the most part, you know, it's Downton Abbey. It's like, you don't talk about your feelings all the time like you do here in America. So I think she has a lot more sympathy from Americans who can relate to that versus Brits who are motivated by a sense of duty and, you know, sweeping honor things under the rug.
Yeah. And I feel like my takeaway was, like, at the end of the day, I really have a lot of compassion for Meghan and Harry. I think a lot of people have known for years, like, what Harry went through with his mom. And with Meghan, we're now learning of course, we always knew, like, you watch The Crown, being a royal is not all it's cracked up to be. You're not like a princess in a castle with servants. I mean, you are, but that's not what it is. It's, like, actually a lot of torture. So we knew that, but I think peeling back a layer into, like, how she literally said she didn't want to be alive anymore, and then also dealing with another layer of, like, being the first mixed race person in Windsor Castle, like, that cannot be easy, and all the strife that came with that. I think I ended up at the end of the interview, I had a lot of questions, probably more questions than I had before, but I also had an enormous amount of respect and compassion for Meghan, because she only cried once, and I literally would have been crying, like, the whole time. She's an incredibly strong woman, but I did feel like I left with more questions. And the frustrating thing is, and what we learned from The Crown is, the palace never speaks. Like, we will not hear from them. Like, there are all these cameras set up outside the palace. No one is coming out to talk to them. Like, they don't respond. So it's actually, like, really ideal for Meghan and Harry to get their side of the story out, knowing that no one is ever gonna, you know, come out and argue with them, you know, tell their side of the story, because The Crown doesn't do that.
Yeah, I agree. I do want to before we get into all of the details and bombshells, I want to just say how the interview, like, made me feel and where I sort of landed at the end of it. Because by the end, after hearing, you know, what they went through and the progression of the last 5 years for them, I would say, I'm really happy for them. Like, I'm really glad that they left. And I think that that's what's best for them. I you know, that situation, it is a major privilege and a major responsibility, as we always say, and it's not for everyone. And so I think that they 100% did what was best for themselves and their family, and I'm glad that they are living a different life now, and one that is better for everyone's mental health.
I also agree.
Think that, like, Meghan and Harry are, like, the most in love couple of all time, because I don't know how you can go through all of that with someone and not have it really affect your relationship. But they seem, like, just so great together, truly.
They both seem so intent on doing what's best for the other person, which is, like, exactly what you want in a marriage. And when I was watching, I was thinking, I'm like, these two can never get divorced. Like, no. They're stuck together forever.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also, when Meghan was describing those months where she lived at the cottage and she couldn't go anywhere and she was just sort of, like, trapped, it was really reminding me of the latest season of The Crown, where Diana is living that way as well, and just, like, driving herself mad because she can't do anything. But I think the biggest difference between Diana and Meghan is that, like, Harry loves Meghan, would do anything for her, is ride or die for her, whereas, like, Charles was Diana's enemy and also making her more upset and, like, feeling more trapped. So I feel like it's not necessarily, like, and, you know, they've taken these steps to make sure history does not repeat itself. And I can see why at that time when she was just like living in the house, you know, feeling really depressed, why it harked back to Diana, because it literally, that's the visual I was having, was the crown. But I think that they have now, it is different for the better.
Yeah. Yeah. And also at the end of the day, like that, the Charles and Diana thing was so fucked up because even if they were in love, Charles couldn't leave. He's the next heir. So with Harry, like, even though he was, and he said it, he was trapped, he had a little bit more freedom because he's sixth in line to the throne. Like, he's really not as important as some other members. Like, if Kate wanted to leave, William couldn't leave. And even if William wanted to do that for Kate, William really is trapped. Like, there was a very small percentage chance of Harry getting out, and he got out, and it's because he is not realistically ever going to be king.
Yeah. I mean, there is, you know, there is that king who did abdicate for Wallace Simpson, but that was the biggest, that was absolutely bonkers.
And I think, I mean, I don't know William at all personally, but I think the general understanding is like, not only does he want to be king, he's going to be an amazing king.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So another takeaway I had before we dive into the nitty gritty was Oprah, because I feel like Oprah did a really good job, because they're talking about all these things that are second nature to them. The firm, I called HR. And it's like, what does that mean? You know? And I felt like Oprah was like, kept asking certain questions. And I saw a lot of people being like, Oprah kept interrupting them. And I appreciated the interruptions because they're talking about the firm. Like, we know what that is.
Do or you the not know that the family is called the firm?
No, but the firm is also like the senior palace staff, not just the family.
No, but it's like the crown is the firm.
Didn't know that. And when Megan's like, when they told us, who are these
right.
people? Like,
no, I
Oprah
agree.
Was asking nitty gritty specifications because we don't know what it's like to live in Nottingham Cottage. Okay. Like, I need to know the logistics.
Right. And I feel like they've tried to make this distinction between family members and the palace staff, who are apparently just like so evil.
Atrocious.
But I do think in some ways, you know, there were moments where the family was kind of thrown under the bus, but in other ways they tried to make it not that way.
So when you and I spoke, that was like what we spoke most about, because everyone knows we're sisters. Like, family is like the biggest thing for us. And even like, if you literally like stabbed Ben, I probably wouldn't do an interview. Like, it's just who I am. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was really struggling with that part of it, because I think in a lot of ways they did protect the family. Like, they made it, they blamed a lot of it on the institution, like not the family, but the senior palace staff and also the tabloids. But there were certain moments where I did feel like they really exposed the family. But then at the same time, I'm thinking, it's like, well, Harry and Meghan are family now, and like, that's who they have to protect, them and Archie. And like, that's just like kind of, for me, like the moral dilemma I'm struggling with, because, you know, when Meghan kind of explained like all the atrocities, especially the conversation about Archie's skin tone, I'm like, yes, queen, like fucking throw him under the bus. But then, you know, I'm so family oriented. I just really struggled with that part of it. And that's the part I don't know how to reconcile myself, because I love Meghan and I love that she was empowered to share that. And I think talking about how they like refused to get her help for her mental health when she was literally begging for help, I think that's so brave. And so there's just different parts of it I'm like really struggling to digest.
Yeah. And I also think in differentiating between the institution and the family there, and they put a lot of the blame on the institution, but that is the crown, and that is what this entire family has dedicated their lives to. The queen has been in service to the crown for 70 years now. And so I think by insulting that institution, they're insulting everything that these people wake up and do every single day and putting it into
question. But
they
also insulted Meghan. Like, they insulted Meghan.
100%. But, like, it's not just, oh, we're going to insult the crown. It's like, and not only have these, you know, living royal members dedicated their lives to this service, but it's like generations before them, their grandparents, great-grandparents. I just finished watching Victoria. Like, Victoria is Harry's great-great-great-grand.
Right.
You know? And so it goes back really far. And so I think I agree with you. I am glad that they were able to say their piece. And also, I think for, you know, all of us who like live for the tea, it's like, it's so hot.
Living. Living.
But it is the dissolution of a family. And it is sort of like airing out this dirty family laundry, which is something that I don't respect.
No, and that's what it is. It's the dissolution of a family. And at the end of the day, like, that's always really, really sad. Like, this is a tragic story. And I'm so mad. And I'm mad at the crown that it got to this place, because I think Meghan could have, like, ushered in an entire new, like, generation. She was a divorcee. She's mixed race. I think she literally could have been the best thing that ever happened to them. And instead, they couldn't make it work. And that's what's so disappointing, because as much as I'm so happy for Meghan, I would have loved for her to have been, like, Duchess of the world and, like, keep doing all the tours and being the face. And what she said, she's like, we traveled around the Commonwealth. It's 60% Black. Like, they, like, seeing an image of themselves reflected in the royal family is so powerful. And so the fact that we only got that for a year and they couldn't make it work, I think the potential for Meghan, like, her real impact, and her impact is huge, but if it had worked out, I think it would have been so beautiful, and we never got there. And, like, that's disappointing.
Yes, I agree. And I think they said that they wanted to make it work, and maybe there was a way that they all could have, you know, in hindsight, things could have been done differently. But I think for the royal family, it's like everyone who is really married into the family, we see it on the crown, and even members of the family who aren't the heir to the throne, they struggle with this sense of purpose, with sitting around all day, not knowing what to do. The people who Princess Margaret, exactly. Even, like, the people who marry into the family, like Princess Diana, even Prince Philip in the beginning, Prince Albert, I was just watching.
Yeah.
They really don't know what to do with themselves. They're, like, you know, part of this now institution. They only have so much freedom. It's very limiting. And they struggle with it. And that's, and I think Harry said, my family just feels like that's our role. That's what we do. This is our... This is how it is, and for them, they saw other options for themselves and said this is not how it has to be for us.
Yeah.
But I think that the rest of the family can't relate to that, because they go through it too, and this is just how it is.
Yes, but I think what they were trying to say is, like, yes, their family goes through it. Everyone knows what it's like to be stuck in your cottage with nothing to do. But the added element of, like, the racism that Meghan received from the public, from the tabloids, was so, like, that's not a normal thing to go through. Like, and it's not normal to be a queen and have nothing to do. And I'm sympathetic to that. And I think, like, that's what I really learned from the crown, was, like, being a royal, like, low key sucks. And, like, you have to deal with a lot of shit. And then all dealing with that on top of being the first mixed race person to ever be in the palace. Like, that is so torturous, I imagine. And that was the perspective we got from Meghan in the interview. And that's what I really appreciated. Like,
yeah.
Because I think a lot of people look at it like, oh, you're whining, you're a princess, you don't like being a princess. And I probably would have said that a few years ago too, before I started watching The Crown. But, like, being a princess low-key sucks. And then on top of, like, dealing with the racism from the press, like, I'm surprised they didn't leave sooner.
Yeah.
Okay, then on top of Harry being Princess Diana's son, so he obviously has this, like, real sensitivity to the media taking down certain people in the British royal family.
Yes, I agree completely. Let's get into some more of the bombshells, shall we?
Yes.
Meghan says that she was silenced. And
Jackie, were you silent or finger silenced?
The latter.
Yes, it was, and I need to know if it was rehearsed, because it was so perfect.
Yeah, it really was. Also, Meghan and Harry said that they were already married on their wedding day. They said that days before, they had a civil ceremony in the backyard with the Archbishop of Canterbury, just the three of them, and that the vows that are from that moment are framed and hanging in their home in California.
That was really sweet, and I totally understood that. Like, the royal wedding is not for the bride and groom, it's for the public. But now there are all these articles, like certain church experts being like, well, it's not a real wedding if it's not in public, and there's not two witnesses. Okay, so maybe it wasn't, like, legally married, but it was emotional. Like, people are so, like, nitpicky with this stuff, and I actually thought that was really cute.
Yeah, that is cute and makes a lot of sense, because the day, you know, you can get lost in the whole day. So, but yes, I
even
did
at
see
a
the
regular
corrections
wedding.
Of there would need to be witnesses. It needs to be in a public space. Like, it's not an actual marriage, but it meant something to them, clearly.
Yeah. And I think that even like a regular wedding, people feel like the day gets away from them. So imagine, what was it, like 65 billion people watched?
2 billion.
Same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Then the next revelation, which was perhaps the most shocking, and I think what most people are talking about, is that there were conversations about Archie's skin color amongst royal family members. After the interview aired, Oprah clarified on CBS This Morning that Harry told her that it was not Queen Elizabeth nor Prince Philip who made that comment.
And when I heard that, what I had already felt was cemented was that, like, kind of, you know, told their story in completion with the intention of protecting the queen and Gran and grandpa. And I was glad they made the clarification. But it didn't even help because I know it was Charles. Like, I know it was him in my bones.
Yeah, no, I'm glad they made the clarification because I think people probably would have assumed it was the queen or Prince Philip.
And I would have thought it's Prince Philip.
And I do feel like they went out of their – they really tried to protect the queen as much as they could in this interview, even with saying, you know, they Zoom and they're on great terms and all's well. I agree that if we're trying to figure out who said it, it feels like it was Charles. And I mean, everybody just like hates Charles right now because of the crown.
It's so easy.
And because of this interview, it seems like Harry has had the most contention in the last few years with Charles. I think him and the queen are in a good place, he says. I think him and William are like going through a rough time, but I think that they are brothers. I think they'll get back to it. I think they've been through so much together. I think they'll find their way. It's just, you know, it's a period of transition for the two of them. But I think that Charles is emerging as the villain of this story.
Yeah. I watched The Crown. He's been the villain in my mind for the last 2 years. But also what people are saying on Twitter, there's like this huge conspiracy theory that Prince Charles is actually not Harry's father. And, yes, you know, when you watch The Crown, Princess Diana, when she's going through a hard time, she's seeing James Hewitt, who actually really does look a lot like Prince Harry, if I'm just putting it out there. So a lot of people are like, their relationship is broken because like it doesn't even matter. And like, that's why Archie wasn't going to get a title, because he's not actually, you know, the future monarch's grandson. I don't know if I believe any of that. I just think like they're two different people. Like, because honestly, when I think of Harry, I think of Diana. And Charles hated Diana. Therefore, by the transitive property, Charles probably hates Harry.
Oh, interesting. I don't think that he hates – I don't know, because I feel like even in watching The Crown, like I think Charles would understand what Harry is feeling, because I feel like Charles had so many feelings growing up too. You know, that was like part of his struggle.
Yes.
But that's not the case. Like, my assumptions are wrong. That's not the case. I feel like he has very little compassion for Harry. And it's just – I don't know. I mean – It's crazy. I mean, just another reason why we should just skip over Charles, but...
The lists are just piling up.
Piling up. Okay, next bombshell. They're having a girl, they announced.
Oh, yes. And a lot of people are speculating the name is going to be Diana, but I said this on my story, and I just want to say it again here in case it turns out to be true. I think they'll probably go with the name Spencer.
So cute. I feel like it'll start with a D-I, maybe not Diana. I mean, it might just be Diana or like something like super similar that's like, you know, I don't know. Theodora.
Die-da-die.
Okay. Also, one of the biggest bombshells is Meghan says that she, quote, just didn't want to be alive anymore and couldn't get help. In her darkest days, Meghan had thoughts of taking her own life, she told Oprah. I was ashamed to say it at the time and ashamed to have to admit it to Harry, but I knew that if I didn't say it, then I would do it. I just didn't want to be alive anymore. She said she, quote, thought it would have solved everything for everyone.
Yeah, for me, that was like, along with the comment about skin color, was like the most atrocious offense from the palace, like her begging for help and just being straight up turned down. Like, that's not something we do. Okay, I understand maybe like public perception, you don't want to send her somewhere. Bring someone in. Like, it just shouldn't have been that hard. And especially after Diana, and especially just like after everyone who's, I actually think, you know, a mental health counselor who lives in the palace would be widely popular.
Yeah.
And who went to therapy?
Princess Margaret. I also had read that William and Kate do a lot of mental health philanthropy. And they've spoken about going to therapy. And so it's not something that is not, like, permitted. I don't know why those resources and others were not available to her. That's so upsetting. And that's a situation that you can't live in. You have to change your surroundings.
And she made it clear, like, there were a lot of things that the palace offered, but not to her. So maybe there were others who, if they needed mental health professionals, they could access them, but Megan couldn't. You know, a lot of people are given those etiquette classes. They learn to curtsy. They learn to what to do with your purse, how to cross your legs, how to use the fork. She said none of that existed, but it was not offered to me. And I think that was an interesting distinction. It's not that they just throw anyone in there. It's that Megan was actually just not given any help.
Yes. Agreed. Also, the pair's exit from the royal family was in the works for a while. They described how they wrote out this, like, term sheet for Prince Charles and explained to everyone what they were doing, when they were doing it, and they did not blindside anyone with this.
Right. And I think what was also interesting was, like, how Megxit became this larger-than-life thing. It was never really supposed to be that. They were always planning on stepping back, but not leaving forever.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess that makes sense. And I just, a few weeks ago, we just reported that it was official that they were not coming back. And we were like, why is this news? They told us they weren't coming back. But in watching it all back, in hindsight, it's like, no, they just took a step back to not be senior working members. There are a lot of members of the royal family who are not senior working members, who are members who called do what they need to do when asked, but it's not their day to day.
Right. And that's where I think the whole kind of thing gets fucked up, and that's where a lot of people are like having arguments in comment section right now, is if you're not a senior working royal member, you are therefore not entitled to some of the privileges, which is security, right?
Security paid for by the taxpayers, yes.
Right. So that's where I really sympathize for Megan. It's like an impossible situation to be in. It's like, in order to have security for your family, you have to be a part of this thing that literally makes you not want to be alive anymore. Like, so, but if you don't do it, you're putting you and your family in danger because they don't have jobs. They can't, security is extremely expensive.
Yeah. They would have to pay for it out of their own money. I just want to say, like, Harry does have a lot of money.
How?
But how? I mean, he bought that house. His mom had left
him
money.
Well, now they have money.
And also, Charles was, like, bankrolling a lot of this for them. He has money from, like, the Duchy of Cornwall. It's, like, his real estate properties. And they have, like, spending money. But
oh, really? I always felt like they didn't have bank accounts or credit cards.
No, they have, like, money and properties and stuff. Like, I think Prince Harry is worth, like, $50 million just from, like, what – I don't know if it's $50 million, but just from, like, their assets.
Right. So those are the places where I felt like Oprah kind of failed in a sense. Like, I had so many leftover questions where they were kind of contradicting themselves and, like, making little loopholes. And I wish she just pressed a little bit more, because at the end of the day, even though it sucks and it's not right and the rules should change, like, Archie should have security if his mom wants to take a step back because she's tired from being written up in the press all the time. But the tradition and the rule is that they don't get security if they step back, and Archie doesn't get a title until his grandfather becomes monarch, right?
Yeah. So this wasn't part of the People magazine article, but it's also something a lot of people are confused about and talking about, is that Archie would not have been called prince, and that was, like, you know, people are confused by that. So I think there's this patent. Hold on. I screenshotted it because I didn't
George V.
George the Fifth. George the Fifth issued a patent back in 1910, I think, basically saying that all grandchildren of the monarch will be prince and princess, which is true of all of Queen Elizabeth's grandchildren. But Archie would be a great grandchild, so it wouldn't be until Charles became king that he's the monarch that his grandchildren become prince and princess.
But so then people are wondering, well, why are William's kids princess? All those three kids are princes, princesses, etc.
Yes,
so why do they get it?
Before George was born, the queen made the stipulation that they shall all be his and her royal highness.
And is that because he's the next monarch?
Because George was going to be a prince, and so they had all the kids be prince. So it's like stipulations are being made. Why not Archie for prince?
Right. Why not for Meghan?
Right. And so apparently Archie was offered, like, a duke dumb title, and they declined it.
Well, because now I'm looking – okay, so – Harry is the spare heir. So was Princess Margaret. And I went to Google, what are Princess Margaret's kids' titles? A lady and an earl. So Archie should have been, maybe he didn't have to be a prince, but he should have gotten something.
I think they offered him something. That's what I've read, and they declined it.
oh, and then the press was like, they're doing it their own way. And it's so funny how, like, how media narrative, like, they were just, like, because in America, especially, people love Meghan. The press loves Meghan. So if she didn't give her son a title, they were like, she wants him to have a normal life. And then we watched the thing. She's like, no, they literally, like, didn't give us one.
Yeah. So I feel like in watching this interview, and I feel like we say this all the time, it's like, it was reminding me even of like Real Housewives and stuff. And it's like, this is their truth. Like this
is what, yes.
This is what they experienced. Like they're sharing how they felt through all of these things and what it made them feel like. And that's their truth. And there's no arguing with that. I feel like there are so many things that the that members of the royal family are just like shouting in the palace that are just like their retorts to what they're saying. But we will never get that from the palace. So it's up to us to just like do a little digging and find out maybe why Archie wasn't prince, even though like a stipulation could have been made for him. Just like, you know, they write in new rules all the time, but it wasn't done for him.
Yeah. And I really felt like at the end of the day, I completely agree with you. Like, this is their story. I don't think they were lying. And at the end of the day, like, the people of the world are so divided on this. Like, either they feel like Meghan is a manipulative social climber, or they feel like she's the most wronged woman in the world and they have so much compassion for her. And I don't think the interview changed anyone from either side. I think if you thought one way, you were fortified in that thinking. And if you thought another way, you were even more thinking that after the interview.
The interview, like sometimes when we talk about like celebrities, especially at this level of fame, it's like they start to not feel like real people. And so I feel like this interview just really showed you that that's exactly what they are. That she's, yes, you're sitting in a palace, but like what are you doing all day? I feel like it definitely gave more context for me, at least, as to how they got to a place where they felt like the only way to go move forward was to leave the family. And that's not something that I saw before, that I could understand before. And so I feel like it definitely changed some the like how I felt about some things, but
about
then there
the
were also,
exit
about yeah about the exit where I came to the conclusion like this was their only choice, whereas when it happened a year ago, I'm like, what are you doing?
No, I completely agree. I'm like, this is disrespectful. And now I'm like, no, like when you have a kid, it just makes things more serious. And I think leaving was the best decision for them. Now, of course, the cynic in me did roll her eyes at a few moments. One of them in the chicken coop with Ariel and her voice, she marries the prince. And I see the parallel. But and I think maybe, you know, Meghan and Harry did have some Disney Plus voiceover work. And maybe Meghan will be doing something with The Little Mermaid. And this was like a little promotion for it, because I also promoted Harry and Oprah's Apple TV series. But I did roll my eyes at that. And that's because I'm just not that type of person who would think that that's like charming. And maybe someone would. And this is not a slight towards Meghan. I just thought it was like cringy.
Yeah, there were two things where I was like, I don't know if I believe all this. The first was when they were asking about, like, because Oprah asked the question that we all have. It's like, you went to Spotify and Disney, multi-million dollar deals. Like, was this always...
I appreciated that question tremendously.
Was this always the plan? And I felt like their answer just wasn't, like, strong enough. Like, when they were like, we never even thought about the streamers till a friend
streamers.
Right. And
yes,
so
no,
I just,
I agree.
Like, I didn't completely buy that. I feel like...
It's not. I don't fault people for wanting money. Like, I get that.
First of all, we all saw the video of Harry pitching Meghan to Bob Iger before they ever left the family. So they were obviously thinking about the jobs that they would need to get if they went through with this plan. And I think that that's a very reasonable thing to think about, though. If you're going to leave everything behind, like, and you have to get a job, you need to make a plan. So I feel like they tried to pretend like they just sort of fell into all of these deals and contracts when I don't think that that's what it was like.
180%.
And then the other thing that I thought was interesting is when Oprah asked them if they watched The Crown, I thought that the dynamic between the two of them was really interesting. Meghan didn't answer. She waited for Harry to say that they watched some of it. And then Meghan just repeated what he said. And it was like they were like feeling embarrassed to say that they watched The Crown.
I know. And that for me was the biggest bombshell. But then apparently he went on James Corden like literally 2 weeks ago and had already said it. And he said Gran has seen a few.
Yes. And so when I saw your story, I was like, no, he already said it. And that's why. But I thought that was interesting that, like, she didn't know if she was allowed to say if they watched The Crown.
I have two more thoughts. Okay. The first was that another thing I was, like, a little skeptical of was when, you know, Meghan And by the way, the interview once Harry came out was literally so boring. Like, I just totally could have watched Meghan.
Meghan was like a star. Solo. She is a star. She was the star. And the parts that were just her and Oprah were infinitely better than when Harry came in.
Snooze motherfucking fest. Because she was spilling tea. Harry was like, oh, I can't. I don't feel comfortable. So don't do an interview. Like, please.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was going to say, I wasn't really buying when at the very beginning when she was like, you know, me and my mom, like, we didn't know Princess Diana ever did an interview. I never Googled Harry. Please, you're going on a date with a prince? Of course you Google him. There's no shame in that.
Yeah. People are also questioning that she didn't Google him or, you know, stuff about the not knowing how to curtsy and all of this, like how she could have learned and that Harry should have taught her and it wasn't on them and getting an instructor for her.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, like, final... so intimidating. Imagine, like, being an American. We don't know anything about, like, the customs and stuff. And, like, the fact that you do curtsy even when you're inside. It's not just a formality, like, for the outside world. And then, like, going to a lunch and having to know all these things immediately. Like, I wouldn't know.
No, of course not. Like, I would literally walk up and be like, yo, what's up, Jima? What's good?
Yeah. No, and I remember there were even articles, like, Meghan crossed her legs the wrong way. Like,
right,
at an event. And it's like, she probably didn't know she did it wrong until the press said it, because like, how would she know that's even a thing? Or like the nail polish and stuff.
Yeah, well, actually, two more thoughts, sorry. I actually loved when Meghan was recounting how she has a wonderful relationship with the Queen and how the Queen invited her to that day of engagements and gave her the pearl necklace and the pearl earrings. I was like, ugh, I just wish that's how it was forever, because that is a beautiful, I love the Queen and I love Meghan. And so like, two queens seeing each other, like, we love to see that.
Yeah.
But I was left a little confused because they really made it a point to push that they are on excellent terms with Gran. Like, they FaceTimed her when, you know, Prince Philip went to the hospital. But I don't know how you do this interview and kind of shit on the family, the firm, the institution, and continue to have that relationship with Gran. I don't know how Gran cannot see past it.
Yeah, like, it puts Gran's life work in jeopardy. And I agree. I think this might put a strain on the relationship with Gran.
Me as well. But those are my official thoughts. We talked about it for 30 minutes. I'm looking at the timer. Like, I could go on for years.
I know. Those are my biggest takeaways. But ultimately, I'm happy for them. Like, I really, really am. And I think that at least I want to forge this path of, like, I can be happy for Meghan and Harry.
Yes.
And still be a Queenie stan.
And still watch The Crown.
Still watch The Crown. Like, still, you know, support the monarchy.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I agree. My number one takeaway was, like, these people did what they absolutely had to do, and they are so much better for it. Oh, and also Tyler Perry is the king of my heart, body, and soul, giving them security and his mansion. Like, gotta become friends with Tyler Perry.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, I just...
Oh, and by the way, there are some, supporting stories about this. Like, are you seeing all the drama with Piers Morgan and Bethany Frankel?
Yes, I saw Bethany's tweets. I saw that Piers Morgan went on a tirade on his show, but I didn't watch it.
So he basically said he didn't believe, like, what Meghan was saying about, like, her struggle with mental health. And then, which is, like, a shitty fucking thing to say, but that's, like, Piers Morgan. Like, he's always just being, like, a shit starter. And I don't know why people give him attention.
And he also has beef with Meghan Markle.
History.
They have history because, according to Piers Morgan, I think Piers Morgan was in love with her.
You think?
And according to him, like, they were friendly before she met Harry. I think she even, like, met up with Piers, like, maybe even the night that she met Harry, she, like, had a drink with Piers. Not a date, not romantic, just, like, you know, celebrities getting
cocktails
together. And then she met Harry and never spoke to him again. I think that's, like, where he comes from. But I think
he's butthurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so then this morning on Good Morning Britain, like, they were talking about what Piers had said yesterday, and he got a lot of backlash. And he just, like, walked off the set, which I really don't have any respect for. Because if you're going to be an animal, like, always, at least have the courage of your convictions to, you know, defend those convictions on your show. But he, like, got up and walked away. He's like, I'm not doing this. Like, I don't have any space for Piers Morgan. Like, I really find him to be so annoying. And after he came for Kim, like, we're done with him.
Yeah. Also, the Bethany tweets, she tweeted before the interview aired and then afterwards just said, like, those were my thoughts. I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings. I think, but her sort of like thesis was like, oh, so hard being in a castle with like tiaras and being a princess. But you know, I mean, that's her opinion. I think a lot of people feel that way too, you know?
So that's exactly what I was going to say.
I mean, she's entitled to her opinion. Some people, Chrishell Stouse, doesn't agree with it.
Right.
But like, I think that there are people who are watching at home, like in the middle of a pandemic, like them trying to relate, you know, being kept in their castle and not being able to go out because she's overexposed, to being in a pandemic when like people have lost their jobs, their family members, their livelihoods. Like, I think there are some people who are just like, please. And Bethany,
you know, it definitely felt a little out of touch at times. But I think with the Bethany thing, it's like, she said what a lot of people think, and then she watched the interview and had a change of heart, which I think was kind of the point of the interview. Like, Meghan and Harry know these narratives about them, and they wanted their story to be out there, and they told it, and people had change of hearts, like Bethany. Like, isn't that the goal?
Yeah. I also, this is what I was going to say. My only lingering thing is, like, ultimately, yes, you want to get your story out there. You want people to hear you, but knowing that the palace will never do something like this either, like, what was the ultimate point of all of this, of doing this interview? They made their break. They have they have a podcast. They have all of these different mediums where they have a voice, they have an audience and a platform. And what was the intention for the interview?
I think to clear their names, like, especially mostly Meghan.
Yeah.
Like, she's been dragged. But the thing is, she hasn't been dragged in America. Like, for us, like, we support her. We have compassion for her and her struggles. And we know it must have been incredibly difficult to be where she was, being a divorced mixed race woman. Like, we know that. So I actually find it strange that they did it as an American interview on CBS, and it came like a day later to Britain, like with an afterthought. Whereas like the people she should be talking to, and kind of the people who she feels like her name should be cleared, are really more in the UK.
Yeah. But I think that they have a better chance. I mean, they do. They already have it, of cultivating like a major audience in the US. So I think, sure, if she wants to change more minds, head across the pond. But if you want to like become, you know, be the star that you are, America is the place for you.
I think they also just like wanted the moment marked in history, and like that, like Diana did it. And so it just felt like kind of like a rite of passage.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think that they got a lot. I think the whole fucking world is talking about this, and I think that they got so much out of this interview. I just, whenever you call up Oprah and say, I want to tell my side, like, to what end? I just am curious. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. No, that's a good question. I don't know.
Yeah. Because I think also like, there was a lot of promotion for Harry and Oprah's mental health, Apple TV. Like, I think there's definitely just, you know, there's a business element to it. So I'm just curious about that.
They also said at the beginning of the interview that they were not getting paid for this interview. But I read multiple places that, like, they sold the licensing rights for somewhere between $7 and $9 million. So I didn't understand that.
Yeah. I think who owned the licensing rights? Was it Oprah?
I have no idea.
Because Meghan said that they're not getting paid, like, for the interview. I don't know. That is confusing.
Yeah.
Did Oprah make all the, like, did they split it?
And it was done by Harpo Productions. Like, who owns that?
I'm on it, Claude.
H-A-R, Harry Prince of Productions, Harpo.
Oh, my gosh. Hold on. Harpo Productions is a company founded by Oprah Winfrey and based in California. So
maybe Harry's an investor.
Perhaps. Anyways, that is our official recap. If any other thoughts of yours come up, please feel free to share them. I feel like I'll be thinking,
I'm sure,
about
we'll be talking about it all week.
Yeah, and I'm sure wherever I land on this in like the next few weeks might even be different than how I feel today. But I'm glad that we had some time to process it, because I was just thinking about it all day yesterday. And then after I watched it, I did the Little Mix Peloton ride, and I was just like in a UK state of mind, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So are you ready to move on from this? I mean, everything else just feels like small potatoes.
We're going to literally breeze through the next four stories, because all that matters is Harry and Meghan. And we'll be talking about it. So if you're sad the recap's over, don't worry. I'm sure it'll come up pretty much every day this week.
Yeah, like apparently Thomas Markle is doing his own thing.
Oh, my God. The Markle family, like the sister, Samantha Jones-Bush. What's her name?
Samantha
Jones Markle.
Samantha Markle.
Is her name not Samantha Bush? Did I make that up?
Hold on. I'll find out. Megan.
Because she really looks like Kim Cattrall.
Yeah, she does. Samantha Markle.
Okay, I don't know where I came up with Samantha Bush. Samantha Markle is so torturing. Like, she's a torturer. Like, I feel so much sympathy for Megan that she ever even had to meet that woman. Like, she, I don't even know her. She just looks and feels like a monster. Like, I just would never want to be her stepsister or whatever.
I never have clicked on an article where she's
speaking. Me neither.
Oh, I have a question, because apparently Megan spoke about Thomas and Samantha, but was it not part of the main interview?
No, they have like released all these deleted scenes that I've only seen on TikTok, but it's really annoying because they're like making new stories out of it.
I know, and
but
I'm like,
they're deleted scenes.
I know. Well, no, they were also on CBS this morning, the next morning, like bonus.
Weighty Katie.
What?
Weighty Katie.
What's that?
So Megan was saying how, like, you know, when Kate and William were dating and finally got engaged, the press called her Weighty Katie because she was always waiting for William to propose to her. And Megan was like, and that's horrible. And I can't imagine what that was like to go through, but it doesn't even qualify with the straight up racism that I received. And I actually thought that was like a really interesting point. And I don't know why that would only be in, I could think of a million other things that should have been a deleted scene and not that.
Yeah. No, I actually felt like even though it was 2 hours, I didn't feel like there was a moment wasted.
It was good.
It was really good. And apparently there's even more and I haven't watched it. So I was like, did I miss all this Thomas Markle stuff? Because it never came up in the special. And So apparently he'll be speaking out soon if anyone catches that.
If anyone gives a shred of a shit.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so let's move on. And our next story is brought to you by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals, like anxiety? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There's a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video and phone sessions so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit BetterHelp.com/toast, that's Better, H-E-L-P, and join the over million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. So today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp, and Morning Toast listeners will get 10% off their first month at BetterHelp.com/toast. Thank you, BetterHelp, a fabulous service that in the pandemic is so pertinent.
Yes. Okay, next story. The Grammy performers for 2021 have been revealed. I think everyone's going to be excited. On Sunday, the Grammys announced its lineup of performers for the 2021 show, which is set to air on March 14th at 8 p.m. on CBS, hosted by Trevor Noah. The list of performer includes Bad Bunny, Black Pumas, Cardi B, BTS, Brandi Carlile, DaBaby, Doja Cat, Billie Eilish, Mickey Guyton, Haim, Brittany Howard, Miranda Lambert, Lil Baby, Dua Lipa, Chris Martin, John Mayer, Megan Thee Stallion, Maren Morris, Post Malone, Roddy Ricch, Harry Styles, and Taylor Swift.
Is it remote?
Probably. They didn't reveal whether performances would be live or pre-taped, but they did say that the show will pay tribute to the independent venues, which have been greatly impacted by the pandemic.
So I'll definitely watch it still, even though, like, I hate remote award shows, just because I actually really like the Grammys and I'm invested in, like, Album of the Year, Folklore, all that stuff. But I have to tell you, I saw a Photoshop version going around and I was shocked because it had, like, most of the same people, but it also had Dixie D'Amelio. And when I tell you, like, my jaw, and it looked so real, my jaw hit the fucking floor. I was like, there's no way. And it obviously ended up being fake.
That's hysterical. Also, knowing that it's the Grammys, I'm sure some of these people will be, like, performing together in a way that is not what you would expect. So that's exciting. I don't know if I'm going to watch, because not watching the Golden Globes was one of the most liberating things I've ever done with my time.
A joy.
an absolute joy. But this is something I would watch the performances after. And I think it's exciting that Taylor Swift is performing. Who know, maybe she's coming with a new single. Very exciting.
I mean, that would be crazy. But I do think she'll probably perform Cardigan from...
You think? Not Willow?
I mean, that's the one that got nominated a bunch of times. God, wait, and no, the album.
Haim is there. They'll probably do the worst song on the album. I think he did it.
Actually, no, they wouldn't. Taylor has so much, like... When you watch her documentaries and you followed her for so long, like, she cares a lot about the Grammys. Like, she would not share the stage.
Okay. I just want to say that's the worst song on the album, and I feel really good
about it. I completely disagree.
Oh, my God. That's so crazy. I've actually been listening to Evermore so much to the point where I'm like, it might be better than Folklore.
I know. Willow, Ivy, like, it really has some unbelievable songs on there.
Gold Rush is just the most amazing song. And so I've listened to it so much that I feel like solidified in my top choices and my bottom choice, which is, you know, the fake church bells.
Yeah, I like that song. But I'm excited. I'm like, would love to see Harry Styles and Taylor perform together, even though that would like never happen. But I just love seeing them on the same ticket.
What about John Mayer and Harry Styles? John Mayer and Taylor Swift.
That was my other question. John Mayer, does that mean he's coming out with music soon?
He's probably just like collabing with someone, performing a cover of a classic.
He's a go-to like collab guy.
100%.
Him and Charlie Puth.
Oh, yeah. No, there's like a lot of people. Megan Trainor and Tori Kelly.
Yes. Very good. Very good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so if you're watching the Grammys, that's what you have to look forward to. I still haven't decided if I will be. But someone who should be performing at the Grammys, but... they didn't say she is Olivia Rodrigo, who was saying
agreed
that Pete Davidson is her celebrity crush. And once I read that, I was like, oh, they're gonna start dating.
Yeah, well, actually, there's been a lot of Olivia Rodrigo news lately. Like, of course, she went on Sirius XM and said, like, Taylor Swift actually sent her a note and a ring. It's like a $3,000 ring that Taylor was, like, obsessed with when Taylor was writing Red, and she thought that Olivia would really like it. And then Joshua Bassett was on, like, some weird web show, and they were playing a game, like, this or that, and they did driver's license or skin, and he, like, waited a minute, and he chose driver's license.
Oh my God, are they still together? Because if not, they're
I don't know. They also like had a collab coming out, Sabrina and Josh, that they decided not to move forward with.
Oh my God, they definitely broke up, which like I'm happy for Sabrina to be like out of this web. I can't believe he chose driver's license.
I know.
But that means that they're broken up. I just want to say, obviously, driver's license is the most amazing song. I could listen to it all day, every day. But I think Skin is also so good. I listen to it a lot, and I just want to like give props to that song as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, it sucks that it came out like against driver's license, which literally became the biggest song in the world. It literally is bigger than like, what does the fox say?
No, I agree. Also, that gift that Taylor sent Olivia sounds so nice and thoughtful. And it reminded me that while I was away, I actually got you a gift.
Oh!
It's nothing like so special, but it made me think of you, and I think you'll thoroughly enjoy it.
Oh my God, I'm literally going to cry. That's so nice. I'll get you something too.
But only like if it's like I saw this thing and I was like, Claudia needs this. It's everything Claudia is about.
Is it edible?
No.
Okay. Okay. So, I'm so excited. That's literally the nicest thing like anyone's ever done for me. Thank you so much. And did you get anyone else anything or just me?
Nothing else there like screamed anyone else. Just there was something that screamed.
Oh my God. I'm so special.
Okay, but Olivia Rodrigo revealed that Pete Davidson is her celebrity crush. She said, never in my wildest dreams did I think they were going to do a driver's license sketch where they played like entirety of driver's license. And Pete Davidson, who is my biggest celebrity crush, was singing it and comparing me to Taylor Swift, who is my idol, she told radio.com. It was just insane. It was on my 18th birthday too, so it was a crazy day. And now I'm like, oh, she's 18. Like, she'll be dating Pete
Jackie.
Davidson.
I was literally saying, like, she said she was 18, just like, so if the article came across Pete's desk, he would know, like, it would be legal. I hope they don't start dating because she's, like, so young.
Yeah,
but,
she is.
Like, here's what we learned. Like, Olivia Rodrigo's just like all of us. Like, you know, she loves Pete Davidson.
I know. The girls love Pete Davidson.
I know. And when I watch him, like, do comedy, I get it. But then sometimes I'm like, no, I don't get it.
I think that they're definitely going to go on a date. And he's 27. She's 18. Like, it is a bigger gap. But it just feels weirder because, like, knowing the key part about Olivia and Joshua's relationship is that they never went public because she was too young.
Right.
So it's like she just feels that young.
No, she got famous for being underage. Like, in my mind, she will always be 16.
Yeah, I feel that. But I just thought that was an interesting factoid. And I feel like she's definitely Pete Davidson's type, like a mega talented brunette queen.
Yes.
He loves a talented queen. He really does.
So he should love me.
I mean, you could be next, Claude.
I could. That's definitely true. Anything's possible.
Next up, we have a little podcasting news.
Ooh.
Stassi Schroeder announces her new parenting podcast on Patreon. We also love a little Patreon news as well. Stassi is staging a comeback after being axed from Vanderpump Rules last June. The reality star who welcomed her first child with Beau Clark in January announced that she and her fiance are launching a parenting podcast on Patreon. She wrote on Instagram, quote, "Becoming a parent is literally the best, most fucking overwhelming, magical, chaotic, incredible thing that's ever happened to me. And I'm so excited to start sharing the good, the bad, the messy, the little moments, the what the fuck, and everything in between." She said, "Join our family on Patreon, where we have started a brand new exclusive podcast called The Good, The Bad, The Baby. We'll be sharing the real moments as they happen, as well as exclusive videos and more once we figure this shit out."
The Good, The Bad, The Baby. I keep thinking of Dua Lipa with DaBaby from that song, Levitating. Oh my God,
that's funny. I didn't think of
that.
Sorry,
I'm like choking
okay?
over here.
Are you okay?
No, you know, I got this little fucking little tickle in my throat. It won't fucking go away. Just give me a second.
Oh, okay. Well, in the meantime, I mean, we love to see a Patreon podcast in general. We had discussed what we thought Stassi might do when she came back onto the scene. And I think that yes. going back into podcasting is a great choice for her. I think that Patreon is a great platform. We obviously love it. I think it's a great place to build a community. And for her burgeoning family, I think this is a really great choice.
Yes, we did discuss it. And I do believe I said she would be entering the mommy space. And you were like, really?
And you were right.
And suddenly I remember something, of course.
I'm sure someone told you that you said that.
No. I swear it's like a genuine memory.
You've been holding on to this, waiting to see.
I've been holding on, just like waiting to rub it in your face.
Well, you were right. And I think it's like definitely the logical next step since she is a mommy and she's also a podcaster. So why not a mommy podcast?
Yeah. No, it'll be interesting to watch. Like, you know, we're always talking about like quote unquote cancellations and like how people come back from it. And I'm very interested to see like what she does next. And I think this was a smart move. I don't know many people who have exclusive Patreons without like a public free podcast. So I just think it's interesting.
Yeah, it is an interesting podcasting move. And if you're already on Patreon, head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast where we're delivering.
Yeah, while you're there.
Premium exclusive content. Okay, fifth and final story is a little book news. I've been loving the book news. I don't know about you.
Love the industry of book news.
The final 50 Shades of Grey novel, as told by Christian Grey, is coming soon. Freed, 50 Shades Freed, as told by Christian, the third and final book in E.L. James's BDSM-themed trilogy that serves as a spin-off series for her 50 Shades of Grey trilogy, now has a release date June 1st. The announcement about her sixth novel in the franchise was made on Sunday. I think it's interesting that it's coming from Christian's perspective and reminds
me
a
little
bit of
Midnight Sun. Yeah, well, that's like Twilight. Yeah, is that Twilight?
That's Twilight, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It's like this new thing, people telling like stories from whatever perspective. I never read any of the 50 Shades books, and I never watched the movie because do you remember all that casting drama? Like Henry Cavill, is that his name?
Yeah.
Was supposed to be Christian Grey, and I was like so on board for it. And then he like dropped out for some other movie, and they gave it to Jamie Dornan. And I'm like, this scrawny motherfucker is Christian Grey, and yeah. I just didn't get it. So I've never supported the franchise, but I might find myself reading the books every now and then. I would definitely check it out.
I read the first book. I remember it was all right. Also, I remember when the 50 Shades movies were like a big deal and we used to read Enty, and he would always say that like Jamie Dornan and Dakota Johnson like really don't get along. And right. So for me, like a romance movie doesn't work unless the leads are in love. And I feel like that's why 50 Shades, while it's obviously a blockbuster, you know, huge movie, it will never like be an iconic film because not only are they not in love, they actually don't like each other. And they're supposed to be like the greatest love story of our time.
That is a brilliant analysis. Like, actually, such a good point.
Oh, wow. Thanks so much. Let's end it there. You got 1 point. I'll get 1 point.
Oh, wow. We're even today.
No, but I got you a gift, so I got 2 points.
I'm getting you one. Don't worry. I still have a few days left on my trip.
Sweet. Okay, let's just talk about The Bachelor quickly so you can get back to your fabulosity.
I know it just feels weird to talk about literally anything other than Harry and Meghan. So, like, ever since we stopped talking about Harry and Meghan, like, I'm over it, you know?
Yeah, the episode's over. But let's just talk about The Bachelor.
But it's not.
I need 1 minute.
But it's not, because The Bachelor Recap is brought to you by Bruch. And I have to say, extending my trip with my Bruch that I didn't bring my charger, it was like the one thing I didn't have to worry about. Because I'm like, My Bruch will stay charged. I could stay for another 3 weeks. Like, it's not even a big deal.
Yeah.
So Bruch is the most fabulous electric toothbrush on the market, and they are redefining what it means to have a perfect smile, because a healthy smile is a perfect smile. The brush comes with 6 unique modes to customize your brushing experience. It has a 4-week battery life, a magnetic charging station, and a compact travel case, which is what I brought with me. I did not bring my charger, and when I thought to extend my trip, I was like, oh my God, well, I have to get another toothbrush. No, the Bruch lasts 4 weeks. They also have a subscription program, so you never forget to change your brush head again. They'll ship you new replacement heads every 6 months, so you're never stuck using a worn down brush head, which can actually like lead to bad breath, and you should always be switching it out. But with an electric toothbrush, it's so much better for the environment. You don't have to be constantly replacing your toothbrush. They come with a really sleek design. Their electric toothbrush has a modern, aesthetically pleasing design. It comes in trend-driven seasonal colors, and it looks great on your bathroom counter. You can get 15% off your Bruch toothbrush kit and refill plan when you use the promo code TOAST at Bruch.com. That's 15% off using promo code TOAST at Bruch.com.
Great. Okay. Did you watch The Bachelor, right?
No, I don't have a TV in my room, and I was like gonna like torture myself, like change my VPN, and I'm like, am I gonna torture myself for a show I literally despise? No.
No, okay, I'm glad that you didn't. I did, but again, I probably absorbed maybe 5% of it. Bruno was just like, after watching Downton Abbey and Victoria, he was like, how are we watching this?
No, but he's a man of taste.
It was Fantasy Suite Week. The first date was Michelle. They had a great date where they like went to the spa, but like mostly just played with food and rubbed it all over each other. It was
well,
cute.
That's weird because she's a teacher and they like had her kids come on Zoom last week. So are her kids going to watch us?
Oh, I don't know. Like there was such a funny tweet of like these Minnesota kids watching Michelle go into the fantasy suite with like, Matt.
It's a stark contrast.
He took all of the women into the suite. No one got like sent home on the spot. There was no drama or anyone like proposing on the spot. His date with Michelle was really strong and sweet, and I felt like she was going to stay for sure. His date with Brie was also really great. I mean, she's just such a fabulous queen, but unfortunately she did get sent home last night.
Oh.
I really think that she has a very good chance at being Bachelorette, and I would absolutely love to see her. She showed up to the rose ceremony just looking like royalty. Absolutely.
Her looks?
Royalty.
Her looks are everything.
Looks are off the charts. She just like looked so stunning at the rose ceremony. Like, what a great way to go out, even though she's always stunning.
You know what I find really interesting is that, you know, she only has 200,000 followers. Like, I checked this morning.
Interesting. That is really interesting. I feel like the follower counts for everyone this season are really low.
Yeah, it's also like a little fucked because literally the only thing people are talking about is Rachel Kirkconnell.
Yes, and I think Rachel Kirkconnell has the most out of this season. But typically at this point in the season, people would be starting to hit a million. And I think Rachel Kirkconnell is still like below 500K. So it's just like a lower season. We also talked about how the ratings are lower. I think that like also people, I don't know, maybe it's just like a sign of the times, like that The Bachelor and the Instagram ecosystem are falling out of step.
Right. Or maybe it's just that Brie is black and Bachelor Nation has a race problem.
Yes, that we have seen. We all saw the charts.
Ben is yelling at me because I'm using his computer.
He's going to have to wait because like we're doing
important. Yeah, like we're talking about The Bachelor, Ben.
Then he had a date with Rachel. She is just like so head over heels in love with him. Like she couldn't even, she showed up to the date just like so gloomy because she was the third date and she knew that the other two girls spent the night with him and she was just so upset. And
that's tough. It's tough.
It's tough. And so she voiced that to him and they, you know, obviously made them even stronger. She loves him. Yeah, of course. She told him like a million times that she loves him, like wants to marry him, is ready to accept the proposal right now. And they had a presumably nice evening together as well. And then he sent Bree home. So it was pretty much like, oh, and also in the beginning of the episode, there was this big conversation with his dad. They brought his dad there. Right. I'm sure you saw like a lot of this. And it was just like very personal. I think everyone who was watching was just like, why is this happening on my television right now?
So what is his relationship with his dad?
I think it's always been strained. And so he felt like that was contributing to like some commitment issues on his end. And he wanted to sort them out before making like a commitment or attempting to. And which is all like so respectable. Mm-hmm. I just like it felt a little like exploitative for The Bachelor to be like airing it.
Yeah, no, that like that feels like a personal convo, you know?
Right. So that's what you missed on Glee.
Well, one other fact that I just want to share is that what we know about Matt is that he's extremely religious. And I have a hard time believing he actually had sex with all three girls. You know, they always make it seem like the lead has sex with all three finalists. And we've now found out later, like, Ben Higgins didn't have sex with Kayla. Like, there's all these different things. Raven and Nick did not have sex. So I wouldn't be surprised if he only had sex with the winner, who I believe to be Rachel Kirkconnell.
Yes, I believe to be Rachel Kirkconnell just based on everything that's happened off screen, but also on screen. Like, they really are falling madly in love. I think he definitely did not have sex with Bree, just definitely in my head.
Yeah.
And I think there's a chance that him and Michelle did have sex, but I don't know that.
Interesting.
I was just reading the vibe.
I'm really looking forward. Like, my zest for the franchise will come back for after the final rose, because there's so much. And now we're finally all caught up, you know, watching this stuff with Rachel, knowing all the stuff that had already happened. It seemed silly and like a waste of our time. So I'm looking forward to finally catching up with everyone in real time.
Yes, I agree. We're on our way there. I guess next week we'll have our winner. And then I think after the final rose is like that same night. So hopefully it all wraps up next week. And I don't know where the franchise goes from here. I don't know if I'll be sticking around to find out.
Yeah.
But I think that either Bree or Michelle will be the Bachelorette, and I think that they would both make excellent, excellent choices.
I agree. And that is our show. My AirPods are dying because we're going on an hour and 15 minutes, but we needed to catch up. And we're back every day this week, and I'm going to be Patreoning while I'm here with TPG, doing a little points, you know, podcast all about traveling during the pandemic, what he thinks of the new change phase situation. So we'll gather questions for that, but head over to patreon.com/themorningtoast for that. And that's all I got. I'm going to the beach.
Have so much fun. We will see you guys tomorrow for another podcast only episode, and we missed you. Love you. Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.